You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.
Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode of Ravens Weekly, hosted by myself, Matt Hall, and the man opposite me at the other end of this table, Josh Tindall. Josh, how are you?
Good, Matt Hall, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Mr. Tindall. Plenty coming up for you on today's podcast, and not all of it football related, but we'll come on to that in a few minutes' time. We'll of course have Roy Oliver on as usual for Roy Remembers, and of course we'll be hearing from the gaffer later on in this episode too, on Boreham Wood and the upcoming matches against AFC Fylde and Aldershot Town. But first of all, Josh, there's only one place to start. There's been a bit of a media storm around the club in the past few days, and I'm not just talking about the FA Cup. It has been a very media-focused couple of weeks here at the Relocatum Community Stadium, but we have had a rather big announcement gone out this week, and it's drawn a lot of media attention, and you've been quite heavily involved with that one, Josh. Do you want to talk us through it?
Well, fair play to Mick Livesey, first and foremost. I think he's...
up the Mick.
He's the instigator behind a recent partnership between Bromley FC, Xbox and Football Manager. Mental.
It is crazy and when you say those words together.
It is a little bit. And I think, obviously, we saw the adverts and stuff the other, like, a few weeks ago, but...
We saw it being filmed, didn't we? Like, so, you know, kind of when it goes out, it's a little bit like, oh... Yeah, we've seen this happen, but for everyone on the outside...
It's so clever how they've done it. Like, I didn't... When they first explained what they were going to do, I think you just naturally underestimate what the production... Like, from a media point, I just thought, it's going to look all right. And then it literally, as soon as I saw it, I was like, that's brilliant.
It is very, very impressive, isn't it? And featuring a handful of our very own players as well.
And the thing is, what's interesting is the way they did it, they didn't use any of their studio, like any studio base or whatever. It's one of our spare rooms at the club.
It is.
And they used
just next door, actually.
All of that, like, bedroom type thing with all the CGI and whatever. That was one of the rooms at the club.
It is incredible. Watching it back, you'd never know was that room. You'd never know it wasn't actually a bedroom. It's incredible.
Because when you think about it, they didn't really have to use... Like, they just needed a room. So I think you just naturally think it's going to be some state-of-the-art studio that they use to set up the room, a bit like TV sets and whatever. But it's literally just one of our spare rooms.
It is incredible. And I've already said a minute ago, we had some players involved with it who make an appearance in the advert, particularly Michael Cheek, who got the little one line.
Welcome to Bromley, mate.
He delivered it really well, I thought.
It was good, wasn't it?
And of course, the man who says the most words during it is, of course, Andy Woodman. And he looked like he had real fun down there.
Yeah, I think after he did it about, 65 times?
I think it was maybe 67, but
We saw him, didn't we? And we were doing... Was that when we were walking
That was when we were with the BBC, actually, yeah.
Mental, wasn't it? And he was like... He was starting off doing it, and then I think about an hour later... Still reading the exact same lines.
Yeah, and then later on he emerged with a smile on his face, didn't he?
Yeah.
And all had been done. And like you say, fair play to the teams that were involved with the production.
It's incredible. He's on Coronation Street or EastEnders or anything. I don't think the gaffer will be leaving us for.
Yeah, I'm not sure he's going to be Soap's next star, but he's definitely Bromley FC's current star.
Exactly.
There we go. What more can you say? But in all seriousness, it's come out, Josh. We saw it just before it went out in terms of, looking through it internally and privately. And then, of course, it went out to the public and the response has been absolutely incredible. You know, Andy's been doing interviews, hasn't he? We'll come on to that when we talk to him later. But the actual traction that the tweet got, you sent me a screenshot of the tweet. I think it was about 10 minutes after it had been posted. And just the level of interaction, you must have been blown away by it.
It was brilliant, wasn't it? I think, obviously, my thing is looking at the numbers and whatever, but when me and Mick sat down this morning and looked at like the full-time tweet of Wembley compared to the one that went out the other day about Xbox and stuff, it's just, yeah, a little bit crazy. But
have you had much interaction with people over it personally? Have people spoken to you about it a lot? I've had people coming out of the woodwork that I haven't spoken to for several years that are now asking if they can apply. Yeah,
just to slide this in there, I play Xbox.
Or can I put a good word in for them? Yeah. You know, they know who they are.
That's brilliant.
So have you had much of that? I know Andy's been spoken to by a lot of people, and you know it's kind of the thing that's spoken about when anyone comes into the club at the moment.
Yeah, just like uni mates and stuff that think that they're you know really good at.
Well, now's your chance to prove it.
But yeah.
Now's your chance to prove it. There is an application process, actually, isn't there? And I believe more information is available on our social media channels and website with regards to that. But yeah, what a week, Josh. Absolutely incredible. And like you said earlier, that is actually the hard work of a lot of people, including yourself and the people that produced it and Mick, going back over a number of months. And it's wonderful, particularly for those people and even for people like myself and others at the club to now sit back and see it. So as far as we're all concerned, well done, everyone, on that absolutely fantastic job. And we've got to give a little shout out to a former player who was involved in that.
Yes.
Mr. Adam Mecky.
Mr. Adam Mecky, who was heavily involved in the production, and yeah, it was weird. We were on a Zoom call the other day, and it just came up, and it said Adam Mecky in the little corner, and then there was his face.
Oh, it was great to see him when he came down here. It was like he'd never been away, really. Of course, man of the match in the 2018 FA Trophy final, which we don't talk about too much for obvious reasons. But it was brilliant to see him back, and how incredible that the stars have kind of aligned here, and you know he's been a player here, and now he's sort of helped us in this capacity whilst fulfilling his own duties in his new career. So
and what
amazing
a journey for him as well.
It is, isn't it?
You know, he's still at Farnborough, isn't he?
So he's still playing,
doing his football. But it's, you know, it's like Parts as well. He's at Farnborough.
Parts,
and
yeah, Joe Partington, yeah. I remember speaking to Adam Mecky, I think it was Salford away in the 2018-19 season. He was injured. And he actually joined me on co-commentary that day. Mm. And he kind of enjoyed that. And he was sort of thinking at the time what his next steps in his career would be post-football. We lost that match, if anyone's interested. We went 1-0 up in the 85th minute and we lost 2-1. So, yeah, anyway, but that's beside
always
the point.
Always want to bring the mood down, man.
I know, I'm sorry. But on the plus side, Adam Mecky was brilliant on the commentary. Yeah. And it was a shame he was only able to join me the once. But yeah, what a guy. And brilliant for him to be involved with this project. And again, just well done to everyone involved with it. It's been spread far and wide on the news, in the newspapers, various different media outlets, in terms of Football Manager communities as well. It's very heavily featured at the moment. So it's brilliant to see our club kind of put on the map in that regard, away from actual football and first team football, to be put on the map in that regard, because it's, Josh, just finally on this, it's a really unique partnership, isn't it? And to think that our club was selected to showcase and go through with this it's an honour, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think it helps our win in the FA Trophy as well. I think that's one of the reasons why we stood out as a club to be used, and obviously the facilities and stuff, but I think how we were, you know, portrayed, and maybe thanks to Disney Plus and Wrexham and stuff for that one. But yeah, no, I think how the past couple of years, how we've sort of developed and stuff, I think we're just an interesting club to get involved in.
Indeed, we are. And again, thank you to everyone for their hard work on that. And we look forward to the application process and narrowing it down to
Are you going
to
apply, Bert?
Eventual successful candidate. Well, now you've asked me, I did used to be a bit of a Football Manager player.
Yeah.
I had all of the Football Manager games. I used to play it religiously. But having started to work in football, I have limited time now to play games. So I might put a cheeky little application.
Oh yeah, you took Woking from the conference to the Champions
League. I took Bromley very far, let me tell you. But anyway, that's a story for another day. Let's move on then to footballing matters once again. And of course, the first team, the men's first team, made the trip to Boreham Wood on Saturday, who were 18th in the table at the time, Bromley third. You were kind of going there, Josh, I guess, with a little bit more confidence than in previous years. It is a tough place to go. And over the years, Bromley haven't had the best record there. So I guess this time it felt a bit different. Unfortunately, didn't end in the victory for Bromley. A point on the road. What was your reflection on it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point in the grand scheme of things. But like you said, as soon as they went down to 10 men, even you said at the time, it's going to be difficult for us.
We just don't like playing against 10 men, do we?
Well, and it proved, didn't it? So.
Well, we'll talk to Andy about that later in his interview. But yeah, you're right there, Josh. I think actually on the day we felt a lot of frustration. But looking back on it, Boreham Wood could quite easily have won that game. And, you know, in the last minute, balls fizzing into the six-yard box and not being tapped in. Despite that, Bromley did have a couple of chances in the second half. Lots of crosses put into the box, unfortunately. Not all of them of the usual standard that we're used to, and unfortunately the finishing touch just wasn't there. Sam Woods with the controversial one. I think a lot of people on the day said that when Sam Woods took the shot, the defender slid it in past the line. Looking at the highlights, I can't see that that's
no,
the case.
I
think that's the correct decision. But going down to 10 for Boreham Wood was after Bromley lost Chinakoli to an injury. And I think that really did affect us. We'd scored already at that point, but I think, Josh, it's fair to say that kind of rattled us a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it changes the shape and the whole plan going into the game. But I think in the summer, if you were to, get a point away at Boreham Wood, you'd take it. So I think it's good, but obviously Boreham Wood haven't been the same dangerous team that they've been over the past couple of years, but it's still a good point, but yeah.
It's very strange that, because when you look at their team on paper, they've got a very, very strong squad. Mm. They've got a good manager. I can't quite put my finger on what's gone on there. No. But the equalising goal was a great strike from Erico Sousa. Unfortunately, around 10 minutes from the end of the game, Bromley didn't really do enough to warrant getting the win on the day. However, like you say, it's a point on the road, a point closer to the team above us. And we move on to the visit of AFC Fylde this coming Saturday, the 18th of November. And again, we'll catch up with Andy Woodman on that very shortly. But before all of that, after the day of the Boreham Wood game, it was back to action at the Relocatum Community Stadium, not for the men's team, of course, but for the women's team, and in the highly anticipated FA Cup match against AFC Portchester. Josh, I've seen the goals. Just sounds like an absolutely incredible game of football. And Beth Hull with an injury time winner at the end, and absolute scenes in the stadium.
Yeah, well, the reason you've seen those goals is because a certain Luca Salmasi was on camera duty again.
Is that the same Luca that's our live studio audience today?
Yeah, Luca, give us a clap.
That's proof he's actually here and he's not just a cardboard cutout or something. He is actually here. Well done, Luca.
Really good result. It was, you don't know, do you? It's sort of, on level sort of standards and stuff, so it could have gone either way, but
well, it literally
really good third goal, wasn't it?
It was, and it literally could have gone either way, because actually Portchester took the lead, and then going into 90 minutes the scores were tied, and at that point, like you say, it can go either way, and it was Bromley that progressed thanks to that Beth Hull goal very, very late on, and absolute scenes. But from all that were involved, a very, very good game of football. Huge shout out, I've got to give a shout out to Mickey Doyle, who stepped in to be our mascot in the Raven costume on Sunday for the game, despite breaking his fingers the day before. So, Mickey, that is unbelievable commitment. He's not the usual Ronin the Raven, and we can't give away his identity because he is, of course, Ronin the Raven.
It's you,
Josh. I've got a lot of responsibilities,
Matt,
but that is definitely not
lie,
one,
mate. I've not seen you from midday until 5 minutes to three when you announce the team.
Well,
so it could well be.
You know what? It could be.
It's not, by the way, anymore.
No, it's not Luca, is it?
Oh, I don't know.
No, I don't think it's Luca. No. But anyway, huge shout out to him, and well done to Andrea Ellis from our wonderful community trust team for organising all the mascots and various people that were involved in the day and coordinating things on that side. And I know she was really pleased with how the day went. And ultimately, it's resulted in Bromley progressing to the next round, which has made history, hasn't it, Josh? And yep. The draw pitted them away to Millwall Lionesses, who, of course, an opponent last year in the FA Cup, where our run came to an end. So we'll be hoping for a different outcome this year.
Yeah, it's gonna be a difficult one, but I mean, you know, they've not lost all season, have they? So it's definitely a different team going into the game than last season. So, you know, anything can happen.
Absolutely, it can. And moving on then to community, we'll catch up with all things regarding the women's as that game approaches. And of course, we're behind them all the way. But moving on to community now, we are delighted to be running some Christmas or festive or December soccer camps, if you prefer. Those will be taking place on Wednesday, Thursday and Friday. That's the 20th, 21st and 22nd of December, just ahead of that televised home match against Altrincham on Saturday, the 23rd. And booking details will be available for those online very soon. But we do expect places to go pretty quickly. So if your child is interested in playing a bit of football before the Christmas period and you need to get some Christmas shopping done and buy your kids some presents, do bring them along to our soccer camps, which will be taking place on those days. They're always great fun. The coaches have got plenty of fun activities lined up. And of course, we are delighted to have visits from the first team players as well, which is always an added bonus and something a little bit different from what you'd get at another soccer camp. So very, very much looking forward to those. Moving on, and we've got a bit of a milestone to cover for someone who has played a very, very big part in our history on the pitch in the past few years, Josh.
Yeah, well, apparently Michael Cheek has surpassed 200 appearances. Luca, clap. There we go.
Is that our canned applause? Is that Luca?
Yeah,
that's our canned applause.
I can't be bothered to reach for
so
the buttons.
Basically, so basically, Josh can't be bothered to lean over the table.
No, the thing is, I think we will get to a point where we get a live studio audience.
Well, we have. Luca's here. We've got it now. We should start inviting. Josh, I think we might have to pay people to come in. That's the only problem.
Free for all.
Okay.
We should do it one day.
We should. I genuinely think we should. And we've got to do a live one at some point as well.
Oh, I don't know about
we've got
that.
To do a live one. Get Fabian in here on the IT. I think we can do it. I think we can do it, Josh.
Okay.
Anyway, Michael Cheek, 200 appearances.
Yeah.
Wow.
Shout out to John Self for pointing that one out. Obviously, he's our stats man at the minute. So he pointed that one out. That was the Blackpool game, was his actual 200th appearance. So
I remember the day Michael Cheek joined and actually organising the transfer with Ebbsfleet United. And to have signed a player of that calibre at the time, we were excited. Did we know what he'd go on to achieve with this club at that point? Of course not. But looking back now, that's probably, in recent times, one of, if not our best ever signing.
Brilliant, isn't he? He's just a good player that I think every summer there's a part of us that are like, well, is he going to make the step up? But, you know, in the past past 2-3 years, we've managed to keep hold of him and he just keeps creating the memories.
Keeps creating the memories. And, of course, you all know which one stands out, really, is that goal at Wembley. And you actually posted that, didn't you, the other day? And
Any excuse, Matt.
You just can't.
I can't.
Just watched it on loop several times. And I don't think it's ever going to lose its kind of... it's not going to lose its... What's the word that I'm after?
Spark.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. It's just never going to go away. It's always going to be... Your excitement every time you watch it is always going
to
be there.
To put on loop on the big screen outside.
I think we should.
Yeah.
In tribute, paying homage to this legend that is Michael Cheek. The guy is a legend. And he's one of the most down-to-earth, low-maintenance players that have ever been at this club.
Especially for someone who's on fire.
Yeah, he is on fire. And he also had his own T-shirts. Come on.
Oh,
the
did.
Cheek
yeah,
is on fire T-shirts.
Remember?
I'm not afraid to say that's I do own a couple of those as well. And they do get worn. They do get worn. But yeah, what a guy.
Mate, you've got to stop wearing them to date nights.
In all seriousness. No, well, I don't think Amy would be too happy if I took one of those out to Prezzo or Pizza Express or wherever it is we're going to go.
Or
there are other restaurants available, absolutely. But yeah, absolute privilege to have been alongside Michael Cheek since he signed. And here's to many more happy years for Bromley's number nine and an absolute more. Club legend. Oh yeah, and the rest. 200 more goals. Let's see how many more appearances. He is an absolute machine. And, congratulations to him. It's very, very... it's a big achievement, particularly in this level of football where players come and go so frequently. To get 200 appearances for a club is not something that should be overlooked. And Michael Cheek fully deserves all the praise that's coming his way. So congratulations to him. Excuse me. Blimey, this is going well.
Mark's just singing.
There we go. We used to have, when we used to do the streams during COVID, which some listeners might remember, we used to have a cough button. So if we brilliant. Needed to cough or sneeze or whatever, we could press it and it would just cut us out momentarily while we coughed or whatever, and then release it and we're back.
We need one of those. We need one for when someone walks in.
You've done it. I've done it today. Yeah, when Jackie walks in or Ted.
Brilliant.
Ted, we've got to get them on the podcast.
Happy belated birthday to your security, Ted.
Yeah, many happy returns from all of us here at Bromley Football Club. There we go. Right, we've got to move on here before we start going on a
apparently,
very...
we've got two home games coming up.
Yeah, we do. It's back-to-back at the relocated community stadium. And as mentioned earlier, the first of those is the visits of AFC Fylde, newly promoted back to the National League this coming Saturday, the 18th of November. And Aldershot Town, slightly more of a local one, make the short trip on Tuesday, the 21st of November. And we need your support. That's basically what it is. We need your support. Get on down.
That is it.
Back to back, Josh. All the stuff's been going out. The support has been hugely important this season. And Andy has really spoken of that in a lot of his interviews, as have the players as well, by the way. So the support will be very, very much appreciated for these two upcoming home games. You can get your tickets online at bromleyfc.co.uk.
Yeah, and obviously we'll speak more about those games with Mr. Andy Woodman. Who is one of two guests on the podcast today.
Take it away, Andy, and the resident Roy.
Oh, do you know what? No, I'll start it.
I love it, Josh.
Go on.
I'll start it. Right, Andy, let's address the elephant in the room. Apparently you're on the hunt for a statistician.
Sorry, mate, who are you?
I'm Matt's assistant. Just jumping in.
Yeah,
just jumping in when I can.
That's good. I was going to say that, man. Sorry, Josh.
No, that's all good.
Yeah, go on, mate. Let's go.
What was I saying?
You said it really well there.
Oh, no. You know what? I prepared that as well.
Prepared statistician.
I did.
It's a hard word to say.
It is a hard word. So, yeah, let's start with this week. And apparently you're on the hunt for a statistician. Could you elaborate on what's been going on this week?
Well, it's the million-dollar question. We're looking for an Xbox Football Manager champion to put himself in a position to get interviewed by myself for a position to be one of my analysts, or statistician, as you would say.
Statistician.
It's not an easy word to say.
No, you've done well there.
So, thank you. So, yes, a real opportunity for someone to be... coming in and working in my office with me, my staff, and having some input into everything to do that we have to do, you know, preparing for the next game, looking at the stats from the game we just played, everything, you know, everything that you'd expect them to do in there. So, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's been great. I mean, it's been received really well. I've had no end of messages from people saying I'm really good at Football Manager, any chance? So, it's good. And and I must say, I keep saying this, and I'm not going to get bored of saying it's not a gimmick. Where this person's going to be working with me in my office every day.
And let's just go back to the football a little bit. And obviously, we drew at Boreham Wood on Saturday. Now you've had time to reflect on that. What did you make of the game?
Well, look, they've done to us what we've done to Rochdale and Kidderminster. It's not easy when a team goes down to 10 men. You know, you think it's easy, but it's not. They're throwing everything at it, and you're kind of sort of trying to defend a lead and not take risks, and ultimately you end up paying the price. And the goal was a great strike, you know, a really good strike, I thought. It happens, you know. It felt like a loss, but you've got to give credit to them. You know, they dug in and rolled their sleeves up and done all the stuff that we've done. It's a point away from home. That's how you got to look at it. You got to kind of take the emotion out of it a little bit and just look at the bare facts. It's an away point. Now these two home games are very important.
And sticking with the weekend, and obviously the women's team made a little bit of history as well. Brilliant. On Sunday. What did you make of that?
Absolutely brilliant. I mean, so good. I'm so chuffed. And look, we're so involved with making the ladies' team feel as equal as us here at the club. I'm really big on that. You know, the respect we've got for them and how they work and what they do. And I must say, I'm loving the pictures that they're doing now at the end. I think it's brilliant. We're trying to make ourselves one team, us and them, and all together working towards one goal, and that's success for Bromley. So every time I see their picture posted up, I'm so chuffed and really immensely proud.
You've talked about this DNA that you wanted to instil, and it was something you talked about in your early days here, and you said it will take time, trust the process, but we're now not only seeing that in the first team, in your team, we're seeing it in the first team men's apologies, we're seeing it in the women's team, we're seeing it with the under-21s, and those three kind of senior teams all seem to be on a similar trajectory at the moment.
Yeah, it was never going to happen overnight, Matt, and look, it starts with me having to get results when I first come in here for people to believe what I'm saying. And we had that first good season and got to the playoffs, and I think one or two people might have thought, well, that was a good little bit of luck with the old manager's team. And we've continued to grow and continued to sort of make our own history and put our own sort of footprint in here, or my footprint in here. And it only comes from me, but then it has to be sort of led by everybody as well then. And it goes right across the club, you guys in your department doing your bit. Everyone sort of follows suit, and now the ladies' team, they've got their own little way of going about things, which is like, you know, never giving up, and this DNA of giving it everything. And like you say, the 21s, and it's very important that we keep that mantra here, because it will take us a long way. The last thing you want to do at any club, and I've been at a lot of clubs, is have a divide from the first team here, the others here, no connection, no sort of integration. It's a disaster. It really is. And it's uncomfortable. It's not, you're all playing for the same badge. So I've worked hard at that, and people have brought into it, which is important. And I do feel like we are one club. And look, there's no one more chuffed for the ladies team than me. I'm absolutely buzzing for them.
Absolutely brilliant. And on not such a positive note, during Saturday's game, Chinakoli went off around 25 minutes in. You said that he'd be assessed after the game. Is there any news on how Chin's doing?
Yeah, Chin's fine. He's fine. He's been contentious for the weekend.
Well, you say the weekend, it's back-to-back now. Two big home games coming up. AFC Fylde haven't had the best start to the season, but they've started to get some pretty impressive results recently. It'll be sure to be a tough test.
But listen, they're a very good team. You know, they may have started a little bit slow in this league. They'll be good. Have no bones about that. They've had some really good results. I think they beat Oldham at Oldham 3-0. They beat Gateshead at Gateshead 4-0. This is not an easy game. There is no easy games. And I think if we approach it in the right way and take care of our business, you know, we'll be okay. But this is, you know, we're not looking at any game, but particularly this game, where it's going to be an easy game. Absolutely no chance. They're a well-organised team with some players in there that have got real talent. So we'll be respectful, but we've got to make sure that we concentrate on our job and how we go about things at home.
Just kind of going back to the conversation around Xbox, really and truly, it's been quite an interesting couple of weeks, hasn't it, in terms of the media attention on the club has just really spiked, obviously being on televised FA Cup watch, if you like, and then the following week, the Xbox announcement. I mean, your phone must have been going off non-stop.
It's been crazy, honestly, absolutely. I know people say it's been crazy. I was doing an interview last night till 10 o'clock with some people. It's just non-stop. So it's great. It's really nice that we're on this sort of upward curve, and all the noise around the club's, you know, positive. And we hopefully we can keep the results positive to keep this sort of like forward trajectory that we're going on. But it's been brilliant. It's been really nice. to have so much positivity around the place.
Andy, thanks for your time. Two home games back-to-back to look forward to now, and we'll catch up with you after those.
Thank you.
Roy, you're back with us on Ravens Weekly for your weekly slot, which is, of course, Roy Remembers. Let's talk briefly about a couple of games that we've had since you and I last sat down and spoke, which is, of course, the big FA Cup game against Blackpool, and then the match away to Boreham Wood. How do you reflect on those two games?
I mean, the Blackpool game, I don't think we started off the way we wanted to, really. They really got in amongst us, and a mistake led to their first goal. And then their second goal, I mean, Dembele, he just made it and scored it himself. So, really, it was an uphill test. But due to Bromwich credit, second half, we threw the kitchen sink at them, had a right go at them. And I think if we could have kept a clean sheet for the first half an hour, I think we'd have had them worried then, because then we'd have started playing more up to them instead of them playing up to us, get them thinking more than us. So, but yeah, to our credit, we battled hard. The team gave 100%, and you wouldn't expect anything less than that.
No. Yes. The second half particularly was one of the better halves of football that we've had in this season. And on another day, we could have got two or three.
Oh, definitely, yes. And sometimes them little moments won't go for you. Every club needs that. I still keep going back to the Wrexham game at Wembley when Angie said at half time, there'll be a moment in this game, I'm telling you, and the ball will go across and boom, it'll be there. And sometimes their moments don't happen in matches, and you can have quite a few of those, and we did. But
indeed, unfortunately not to be, but a great level of support on the day, and brilliant to be on the TV as well.
Oh yeah, brilliant. Yeah, I've watched it twice now, so picking up any points that I missed and all that. But yeah, great to be on TV, and a good show under the ground, and a good, you know, a little bit of the Bromley boys at the start, which was nice.
Very nice.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah.
And did you go to Boreham Wood?
I did.
And what's your reflection on that one?
Well, I thought we started off very well, and I thought we were playing quite well, and I think we got the first chance, and we took it on a mile, didn't we? But then they got down to 10 men, Fifield got sent off. And I don't think we cope with 10 men sometimes. Sometimes it's worse to play against 10 and what it is 11. And to their credit, they had a go. And their goal was, it's a good goal, but it's just completely out of the blue. They were throwing everything at us. And I don't think we used the ball probably good enough in the second half. About three times, I think we got round the back of them, but couldn't find that killer touch. We had opportunities, but so did they. And on another day, we could have lost that.
Yes, you're right. Yeah. You're not wrong there. Anyway, on to what we've got today. You're always providing us with some historical gems. What have you got for us on today's episode?
It's the Kent Amateur Cup final of 1936, and we played down at Dover. But the team and the officials, and I think sort of lots of supporters, went down there on the Saturday. So they spent the Saturday down at Margate, and then on the Sunday they went down to Dover to play the game. And there was about 3,000 down there. And it says in the report that literally Dover was invaded by Bromley supporters, all wearing hats and rosettes and all scarves and really getting behind their team. And we won the game 2-1 against Sheppey. We scored first through centre, and then they equalised, and then we got the win in the second half. And the trophies were awarded to all the players, and then they went for a civic dinner down there, and all had a jolly good time down there.
They seem to have some processions after these victories, don't they? That we've talked about on this segment of the podcast over the past few weeks. It's not just you win a football match, you have a beer and you go home.
Yeah.
It's quite different, isn't it? It's all very formal.
Yes, it's very formal, like, you know, and yeah, it just shows, I don't think the club has moved on a lot from them days, because the supporters, I mean, at Borehamwood, I think it was 204, so I mean, there at Borehamwood. I think the crowd was 961, which is pretty poor for a club in the National League, isn't it? When we're sort of 2,000 or more. And then to, out of that 961, over just over 200 Bromley supporters. So, you know, we're passionate about our team when we go away. The funny thing is about football, and every supporter say, the away fans always cheer more what the home fans do, which is quite funny sometimes, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
You come to that.
It's a mindset thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
you're in the minority.
Yeah.
So you have to be louder. Is that it? I don't know.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, yeah.
Well, it was a good atmosphere. And,
yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, just couldn't see it out of Borehamwood, could we? But
no. You know, Andy said, you know, in a way, probably 2 points lost. We didn't use the ball good enough, but in a way, probably a point gained. And it still keeps us on this run of two defeats in 18.
I was just going to say, in terms of what used to happen after those games, there wouldn't have been any dinners after that one, probably.
No. That would be straight back on the coach now.
That's it, straight back home.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Roy, thanks so much, as always. It's always a pleasure to hear from you, and another gem from you today. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Well, great to hear from pretty much, I know I said resident Roy, but pretty much our two resident guests. They're on most weeks. Roy's got an impeccable record. But yeah, thank you to both of them for their time. And always great to catch up with two fantastic people for very differing reasons. We definitely need that cough button.
But we do need more guests on, I feel.
We do.
I feel like this week's been a bit of a...
Well, we have had an extremely busy week, and we will be getting a player on next week's episode. We have made a step forwards because we've got a live studio audience today, which is Luca plus others. but in all seriousness, let's get back to it just before we wrap up this podcast today. Exec Club spaces, limited spaces, I must add, are still available for Saturday and Tuesday's games against AFC Fylde and Aldershot Town, respectively. You can email execclub@bromleyfc.co.uk if you're interested in taking any of those up. And they are fantastic, the Exec Clubs. It's a great experience and one that you definitely want to experience at some point.
Especially on Tuesday night, it's going to be cold.
It is going to be cold. Get yourself inside and get yourself warm with a lovely meal, a half-time food provided as well, teas and coffees and drinks and all of that jazz. It is very, very nice, and it is very, very warm in there as well. So if you are interested, once again, you can email execclub@bromleyfc.co.uk. If you are not going to the hospitality option for Saturday's game, then our Broomfield's Happy Hour is taking place from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. And actually, you could still do both. You could still go to Broomfields, do the happy hour, and then go to Exec Club if you wanted to. That sounds like a good afternoon to me, but that's taking place from 12 till 1.
Or the Ravens Lounge.
Or the Ravens. Not forgetting the Ravens Lounge, Josh. That's a really good point. The brilliant Ravens Lounge, which is a more intimate experience on a match day. Of course, in a bar that has been very well loved by our supporters over the years. And again, that is possible by booking online via our Ticketmaster website. You can just book your Ravens Lounge pass there. And I think that's it, Josh.
I think that's it.
I think that's it for another week. It's flown by.
The women are away Sunday.
Best of luck to them.
Yeah. I mean, that's it, I think.
Well, Josh, thank you for joining me as ever. And thank you to all of you.
Thank you for joining me.
Oh, Josh, stop it. Making me blush. Thank you to all of you tuning in and putting up with us. We'll be back again with another episode
for you
next week.
Go on, our studio audience, Luca.
I think it's time we clapped him, actually.
Go on, Luca.
Audience recognition. Audience respect
and
is
also,
where it's at.
In fairness, Luca has battled many a weather in that gantry trying to film our games.
Grimsby Town at home comes to mind.
Oh, my days. There were four cameras up there. Lucas survived because he jumped on that camera.
He's just a warrior. He's a warrior.
But if it wasn't for that moment, those three goals, we'd just have CCTV footage of.
That moment was the making of Luca.
It was. And now, so if you're stood in front of that gantry, just look up every once in a while. Give him a wave.
Just look up. Give him a wave. Say hi.
Yeah.
That is audience respect.
And he will wave back.
Will he?
Yeah, he's nodding.
All right. Well, thank you to Luca, as you say there, Josh, and yourself, Josh, and everyone for listening once again. We'll be back with you for another episode next week. But until then, take care, and we hope to see you at our matches on Saturday and Tuesday. All the best. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me.